ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ शुक्लाम्बरधरं विष्णुं सशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजम् प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये गजाननं भूतगणादिसेवितम् कपित्तजम्बूफलसारभक्षितम् उमासुतं शोकविनाशकारणम् नमामि विघ्नेश्वरपादपङ्कजम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ भद्रं कन्ने विष्णुनुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुभागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमस्ते गणपतये त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं तत्त्वमसि त्वमेव केवलं कर्तासि त्वमेव केवलं धत्तासि त्वमेव केवलं हर्तासि त्वमेव सर्वं खल्विदं ब्रह्मासि त्वं साक्षादात्मासि नित्यं ऋतं वच्मि सत्यं वच्मि अव त्वं माम् अववक्तारम् अवश्रोतारम् अवदातारम् अवधातारम् अवानोचानमवशिष्यम् अवपश्चात्तात् अवपुरस्तात् अवोत्तरात्तात् अवदक्षिणात्तात् अवचोर्ध्वात्तात् अवाधरात्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् त्वं वाङ्मयस्त्वं चिन्मयः त्वमानन्दमयस्त्वं ब्रह्ममयः त्वं सच्चिदानन्दाद्वितीयोऽसि त्वं प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वं ज्ञानमयो विज्ञानमयोऽसि सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत् त्वत्तो जायते सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तस्तिष्ठति सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि लयमेष्यति सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि प्रत्येति त्वं भूमिरापो नलो निलो नभः त्वं चत्वारि वाक्पदानि त्वं गुणत्रयातीतः त्वं अवस्थात्रयातीतः त्वं देहत्रयातीतः त्वं कालत्रयातीतः त्वं मूलाधारस्थितोऽसि नित्यं त्वं शक्तित्रयात्मकः त्वाम् योगिनो ध्यायन्ति नित्यम् त्वम् ब्रह्मा त्वम् विष्णुस्त्वम् रुद्रस्त्वमिन्द्रस्त्वमग्निस्त्वम् वायुस्त्वम् सूर्यस्त्वम् चन्द्रमास्त्वम् ब्रह्म भूर्भुवःस्वरो गणादिम् पूर्वमुच्चार्य वर्णादीस्तदनन्तरम् अनुस्वारः परतरः अर्धेन्दुलसितम् तारेण रुद्धम् एतत्तवमनुस्वरूपम् गकारः पूर्वरूपम् अकारो मध्यमरूपम् अनुस्वारश्च अन्त्यरूपम् बिन्दुरुत्तररूपम् नादसन्धानम् संहिता सन्धिः सैषा गणेश विद्या गणक ऋषिः निच्छृद्गायत्री छन्दः गणपतिर्देवता ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ एकदन्ताय विद्महे वक्रतुण्डाय धीमहि तन्नो दन्तिः प्रचोदयात् एकदन्तं चतुर्हस्तं पाशमङ्कुशधारिणम् रदं च वरदं हस्तैर्बिभ्राणं मोषकध्वजम् रक्तं लम्बोदरं शूर्पकर्णकं रक्तवाससम् रक्तगन्धानुलिप्ताङ्गं रक्तपुष्पैः सुपूजितम् भक्तानुकम्पिनं देवं जगत्कारणमच्युतम् आविर्भूतं च सृष्ट्यादौ प्रकृतेः पुरुषात्परम् एवं ध्यायति यो नित्यं स योगी योगिनां परः ॐ नमो व्रातपतये नमो गणपतये नमः प्रमथपतये नमस्ते स्तुलम्बोदरायैकदन्ताय विघ्ननाशिने शिवसुताय श्रीवरदमूर्तये नमो नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः सो हियर् वी आर् looking at the meanings of this Ganapati-Atharva-Sirsho-Upanishad. 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 So here we need to remember that Bhagavan Ishwaraha is none other than the reality itself. Even though the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure existence, is of the nature of limitlessness, time-wise limitless, spatial limitless, object-wise limitless, and this reality is not the Lord. Reality is not the God. But the reality is given the Ishwara title. So Bhagavan Ishwara is this reality alone. Therefore, the whole Jagat is, if this is manifestation of this knowledge, means the whole Jagat is Ishwara. And here, when you say everything is Ishwara here, we are supposed to see there is no aham which is independent of Bhagavan. There is aham and idam, both are in Bhagavan. Aham Bhagavan, Idam also is Bhagavan. Aham Bhagavan means what? There is no I. The individual self outside of Bhagavan. There is no Idam, this objective universe. Total, which is inclusive of Bhagavan, is outside of Bhagavan. When you say Idam, Sarvam Bhagavan, all that is here is only Bhagavan, means Idam includes our own, the individual body, mind, sense complex. Idam includes the three bodies. Idam includes all the five layers of personality. Idam includes this five layers of personality, three bodies which form part of the individual are all included in the objective universe. So Idam is Bhagavan. All that is here is manifestation of knowledge indicated by the word Idam. And what about I? Therefore, Aham Bhagavan. Which means there is only Bhagavan, means the more we understand Bhagavan, all that is there is only Bhagavan. All that is there is only Bhagavan. All that is there is only Bhagavan means, which means there is no I. There is no I. There is no I. Which is other than Bhagavan. There is no such thing called I, which is other than Bhagavan, outside of Bhagavan. And Swamiji used to say, this is called thinning of Ahankara. Which means, I remember him saying, you are a fat, bloated person. And you need to knock him off. You cannot knock off this fat person. And first make him thin. Put him to starvation. Don't give him any food. Make him weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weak. Thinnest person. Then push him, he'll fall down easily. So he does Ahankara also. You have to resolve the Ahankara, say, totally in its own Swarupam, which is otherwise called Bhagavan. And for which, in the very truth, you have to resolve the essence in the truth. Like how you resolve the wave in the water, essence has to be resolved in the truth. And ultimately, that is how you can say Aham Brahmasmi. But before that, Ahankara has to become much thinner. Therefore, what will help you resolve the, Ahankara essence totally, cognitively? One has to start, first of all, seeing the fact of Ahankara being not really there. What is only Ishvara? At the manifest level also. Before you go to the Nirgunam, Nirguna Brahma Vastu, even in the Saguna level also, we have to see how everything is Ishvara. Thereby, you can see, the more I see Bhagavan, less I see myself. And it's called what now? It is the converting the bloated Ahankara into a thin Ahankara. So thinner and thinner, which will be easy later on for us to knock off the Ahankara. This is Swamiji's way of putting it, okay? When you used to see Ishvara, I had everything as Ishvara. Therefore, for us, whole Jagat is Brahma, whole Jagat is Ishvara. We have to remember the fact Jagat includes every individual being. So samashtihi vyashtim na purayati. The total pervades the individual. The individual is included in the total. And the whole is Brahma. The whole is manifestation of the truth, reality, the knowledge, means the whole is Ishvara. Therefore, there is no aham. But here we are seeing this Ishvara here is invoked in the form of Ganapati. I said, we look at Bhagavan as the Lord of all the innumerable countless groups of beings and laws. Gnanam Pati Ganapati. We come to up to this mantra. Sarvam Jagadidam Tvatto Jayate Sarvam Jagadidam Tvattas Tishthati Sarvam Jagadidam Tvailayameshati Sarvam Jagadidam Tvai Pratyeti Tvam Bhomirapo Nalo Nilo Nabha Tvam Chattvariva Akpadani Tvam Gunatrayatitaha Tvam Dehatrayatitaha Tvam Avasthatrayatitaha Tvam Dehatrayatitaha Tvam Kalatrayatitaha Tvam Mooladharasthitosi Nityam So, Tum Gunatraya Atitaha, Tum Dehatraya Atitaha, Tum Avasthatraya Atitaha, Tum Kalatraya Atitaha. So, that may, the four factors, and is said to be, there's a set of three, or four factors. So, Gunatrayam, and a Gunatrayam, I explained to you last class, the Trayaha Gunaha means the three Gunas. And I told you three Gunas are nothing but names given to the threefold manifestations of the only power. So, And the power itself is what? Shaktihi Maya. The what is Shaktihi? Power or energy. What is it? It is known by the term Maya. Why? Because it is Maya means that which is not countably. That which is not there as a countable one. What is the meaning of, what is the meaning of the word Maya? Ya, ma, sa, maya. That which is not here as a countable one. Which means that which is definitely there, but not independently as a power, but as the inseparable intrinsic nature of the reality. The nature of the reality is the power of the reality. You cannot count the nature separately. Now, knowing is the nature means it is not countable separately. Isn't it? Therefore, what is the mool, what is the power here? The power of knowing, which is the nature, which is when this power of knowing is the power of knowing is the nature of knowing. And when it is unmanifest, unmanifest means what? When it is not recognizable, there is something called power of knowing, which is non-recognizable, non-interactable, non-accessible. We call it what? Unmanifest power. The power has to become manifest for it to be recognizable. Therefore, the power is unmanifest, but the unmanifest also, it doesn't have independent existence. Manifest also, it has no existence. It is not even countable. That non-countability of the power is said to be what? It is implied by the word Maya. Okay, non-countability is implied by the word Maya. Unmanifest power. And this one power alone, when it is this power is manifest, we see threefold powers. Not only is the power of knowing, the power of desiring and the power of activity also. So the action presupposes desire. Desire presupposes knowledge, which means all the three are actually based in knowledge, which is only power of knowing. I mean, the three, when it's manifest, you see all the three. Unmanifest, it is non-recognizable. The manifest powers are given three different names. The power of knowing manifest is given the name Sattva Gunaha. The power of desiring activity manifest is given the name Rajo Gunaha. Again, the power of inertia is given the name Tamo Gunaha. It also inertia. So you say Tamo Gunaha. But these are only threefold powers. Now, and this power, the powerful, the reality, which is the source of energy, source of the power, is distinct from the very power. It is not separate, it is not separable, not separable, inseparable, but it is distinct. Therefore, and then here, who is Bhagavan here? The Lord is none other than the reality, which is Brahma. Here, Ganapati is looked upon as Sakshat Brahma. If you address the ocean, how will you address? Oh, ocean, you are the water. Similarly, you had when you say whole is Bhagavan, you have to say the whole Jagat is essentially Brahma, the reality implies the term Brahma, which is essentially of the nature of knowledge, which is distinct from the power. Gunatraya Atitaha. And Gunatraya Atitaha. Avasthatraya Atitaha. You are free from, of course, you know, the three states of mind, avasthaha, and the state of mind is not state of atma, reality. State of mind is the manifestation of knowledge, and atma is the source of knowledge. So the mind consisting of thoughts, which are all manifestations of knowledge. Vrittihi, antahkarana vritti samuhaha is the mind. The totality of thought modifications which rise and resolve form the mind, where a source of manifestation is the reality, Brahma, Atma. And these thoughts, again this mind also, when the thoughts are manifest, it is totally manifest, it is waking state. And then partially manifest, it is dream state, and all the thoughts are resolved, it is a deep sleep state. But the source of the reality, the source of thoughts, is the source of mind, very existence of the mind, truth of the mind. In fact, truth of I is the truth of all the thoughts, the truth of the mind. Therefore, each state of experience is, which comes and goes, the experience comes and goes, whereas reality being the truth of the state of mind, being a source of experience, is distinct from what doesn't come and go. This non-arriving, non-departing reality, consciousness, the source of mind, truth of mind, is distinct from the three states of mind. Avasthatraya atitaha. Atitaha should be understood as distinct. Avasthatraya titaha, dehatraya titaha. When this atma is distinct from avasthatraya, means what about the dehatraya? So dehatraya again, as you said, we see all these. When you say, first we said, the whole jagat is you. Sarvam tottaha jayate, everything comes into existence from you. Everything enjoys existence in you. Oh Lord, everything resolves in you. Now we say, Dehatraya Atitaha. And we have to see here, this physical body or the subtle body, all subtle aspects which are also subtle matter, and the unmanifest, the unmanifest, the causal body is nothing but avidya, and which are the you can say pancha kosha atitaha or dehatraya atitaha, mean the same. You have to remember Tattvabodha class. Dehatraya atitaha is equal to pancha kosha atitaha. One who is distinct from all the physical, astral, you know, the unmanifest, the layers of personality. All these different layers of personality. So, dehatraya atitaha. It means, you can say unmanifest matter, unmanifest power is what? Unmanifest power is avidya, ignorance, which is the subtlest matter, and subtle matter, subtle body, and the gross body, gross matter. Matter in any condition, subtle or gross, doesn't have existence outside of the reality. But reality here, obtaining as the truth of every individual being, innermost sense of every being, is one and the same, which alone he enjoys the Ishvara status, as one is hiding in the home of everything, is what distinct from the three bodies also. Tvam avasthatrayatitaha, tvam dehatrayatitaha, tvam kalatrayatitaha. This also we have already seen. Kalatrayam, the time factor, we say past, present and future is only relevant, relative expression associated with the manifest universal matter only. Whereas time also is something to be associated with the matter. Because time also is object, even though time is much more intangible, much subtler, but still it is also an object of knowledge which is associated with the manifestation, the universe and the matter. Therefore, it is also object of knowledge. This is the easiest thing to remember. How to understand something is of the nature of inertness. Just to say, inertness means anything which is an object of knowledge is matter. If something is object of knowledge, it is matter. If it is matter, it is of the nature of inertness. If it is of the nature of inertness, means it has no independent existence. Finished. This is the order you have to remember for understanding any Upanishad anywhere. And here time also is the intangible factor, but still, and then time in terms of past, present and future, all very relative. And here, the reality, the source of time, the source of knowledge is distinct from everything, is what? Free from past, present and future. Free from time limitation. Free from time. Which is dependent on which? Is consciousness source of knowledge is dependent on time? Or the time factor which is dependent on consciousness for its existence? So consciousness, sorry, time exists in consciousness awareness. That is why tvam kalatrayatitaha. We are seeing Bhagavan's swarupam, the swarupam of the whole manifest universe, which is manifestation of knowledge. The source of manifestation being the imperfectum Atma Brahma, the Bhagavan swarupam. We talk about as what now? Tvam kalatrayatitaha. When you see Bhagavan Swarupam, no, indirectly I told you we have to see it is our own Swarupam. When we address Bhagavan as your Swarupam, we are seeing it as our own Swarupam. You know why? Our Swarupam is Bhagavan. And Bhagavan Swarupam is what? Our Swarupam. It is not different. Why? Because what is only Bhagavan means we are already not there. And what is only Bhagavan Swarup means our Swarup only. Know how? That is why I told you many times, even in other Upanishad classes, in the how to this, we've already seen the Ahankara has been made much thinner. Repeatedly we have to see this. Swamiji used to tell, repeatedly listen to this fact. It is a fact. Even though it's a fact, in day-to-day life, when we leave the Shastram, again we'll be more reminded of associating ourselves with the gross form only. So repeatedly you have to listen to these facts. Now, the easiest way of remembering, the easiest example given is this. See, when you see the ocean, we also see the wave. And the wave, we talk about the wave, and then the word wave is there, the term wave is there, and that because it also indicates a given form also, and which also serves a given purpose. So, nama, rupam, karma. Every object can you reduce to three terms. What is nama, rupam, karma? Every object can be said to be what? Nothing but form, name and function. So wave is a name associate indicating a given form serving a given purpose. And now this individual wave, it means only one wave, not all the waves. One wave. Now you have to ask the question, is it possible for this wave to hang around on its own by itself as a proud peacock? In Indian language, we use the expression proud peacock. You know, I don't know whether you use it in England. We say somebody is very proud, means proud peacock. Poor peacock is not proud. But we think proud peacock always is our national bird. It is. Peacock is Indian national bird. Therefore, which is, sometimes it has its own elegance and beauty and all that. Somebody is very proud, we say proud peacock. So suppose we see, can this wave exist by itself? It may sound very simple, very, very simple. The very kindergarten, it sounds like a kindergarten lesson, but we have to see this fact. You know, is it possible for a wave to be by itself, independently, without the total ocean being around? Just when you need to ask this one question. Is it possible for any one given tree or a plant to be by itself without the other plants being around? For something called wave to be there, it can always be there, enjoying the status of being the wave, you know, only as part of the entire ocean. The wave can never enjoy its existence in terms of wave, as a wave, without the ocean being around. So the existence of wave presupposes the existence of the entire ocean here. There's always dependence. It cannot be there by itself. Similarly here, in fact, our Panchakosha analysis itself is beautiful for us to see. We don't need to say individual human being, the whole individual human being. We have to see from where, from each level you have to see. See the grossest matter in the form of individual physical body. This cannot be there without its corresponding total gross matter being there. There must be the gross universe around for the gross body to be there. So when you look at the whole gross material manifestation as Ishvara, you give the name also as Virat. So this physical body is already is what? Just as wave is part of the ocean only, wave can never be outside of the ocean. Similarly, our gross body cannot be outside of Virat Ishvara. All it is offered to Virat. Bhagavan, known as Virat, has already engulfed our physical body. No ocean engulfs the wave. Similarly, this gross physical body is what? No, the grass is engulfed by Bhagavan in the form of, known by the term Virat, the gross manifestation Ishvara. Similarly, all our the physiological functions and subtle instruments of perception, instruments of knowledge, the actions, even our all of them are antakarna mind and also the intellect, all of them are engulfed by what? Hiranya Garbha, the corresponding total subtle manifestation. Because no individual pranas cannot exist. No one prana can hang around by itself. The samashti prana, which is, is a total prana. And it is otherwise called Hiranya Garbha. Similar to samashti shaktis. And here it is something different we have to understand. We have individual power called Indriyam. Samashti, there's a totality of each individual power is called Devata. And there's a Devat, otherwise called, all the Devatas put together is what? Daivam or Ishvara. Again, all the powers are also what now? There's a totality of total powers, which is Hiranya Garbha. Then we had see, Vyashti Manaha. You think our own emotion can be there, one thought. Our emotions, individual emotions. Is it possible for individual emotions to be there by themselves without the corresponding total mind being around? No, there can't be raga dveshas, fear, anxiety, etc., obtain of subtle thought forms by individually. There's a corresponding total mind, totality of emotions. Samashti manaha, vyashti manaha. See, existence of vyashtihi presupposes the samashtihi. Individual presupposes the total. It's a total corresponding total mind, which is Hiranya Garbha. Individual intellect, again, what? Cannot be by itself. It's a total intellect, corresponding total intellect, which is Hiranya Garbha. So samashti buddhihi, samashti manaha, samashti pranaha, samashti indriyani, indriya shakti samuhaha, all of them together, samashti subtle manifestation, yente total subtle manifestation, otherwise called Hiranya Garbha, is also what? Another title, give attribute to the same Bhagavan, Ishvara. And we say what now here, already vyashti sukshma is resolved in the our individual subtle aspects, all subtle aspects are engulfed by Hiranya Garbheshwara. Which means already where we can't place I there. And you see a little more, come to Ajnanam again, your own avidya. Even your avidya, you cannot say your avidya. There is total ignorance, which you have to understand by analyzing a deep sleep state. When you do not know existence of yourself or the existence of the world, what is the total ignorance, avidya. And avidya is always said to be karana shariram. And this also is what now? Doesn't exist outside of the total maya. So avidya is not outside of maya. Sukshma shariram is not outside of virat. Hiranya Garbha. Therefore, we look at this what? When you see the maya also, it's antaryamishwaraha. So your avidya is resolved in antaryamishwaraha. Maya shaktiman ishvara. All subtle aspects are resolved, already engulfed by Hiranya Garbha. Your gross body is not outside of Virat. I tell you, even though three different names we give at three different levels, Virat, Hiranya Garbha, Antaryam Ishwara, where is the individual? Where is the individual? Where is the wave? From the standpoint of devotion, where is the wave? There's no wave. Similarly, from the standpoint of the total gross, subtle, unmanifest universe, there is no individual. All the three bodies divided into five layers of personality ought to be resolved cognitively at each level in Bhagavan, the whole. Enjoy three different names, three different titles. This is called Atma Samarpanam, Atma Nivedanam, Atma Arpanam. Okay, you are already off at each level you have, means now what is engaged only one unmanifest I sense. That also is a Vijnanamaya that also has to be resolved there. Now what, after resolving that, what is there now? What cannot be negated, what cannot be resolved here is the pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And that is the truth of Jagat. And the same reality is given what? Ishvara status. Where is the individual here? There's no individual. What is only the truth. And look at the whole Jagat as manifestation of the truth. You call it Ishvara. You can either say what is only Bhagavan Ishvara, and Ishvara is nothing but the reality manifest in the form of objective universe is what? Ishvara. Finished. There's no, therefore the seer is Bhagavan, seen is Bhagavan, seeing is Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. Okay? Therefore, and this is already we have to see, everything is Bhagavan. So, and therefore it is say, but even the everything is Bhagavan, Bhagavan is not anything. Everything is Bhagavan, Bhagavan is not anything. Why? Bhagavan as Swarupam is what? As pure knowledge, a pure existence, which is distinct, non-distinguishably distinct. Truth. Therefore, Tvam avasthatrayatitaha, dehatrayatitaha, kalatrayatitaha. I explain this to you again, just to see, help you see how the non-distinguishable truth at the same time distinct from everything. Tvam mooladharasthitosi nityam. Tvam mooladharasthitosi nityam. Now moola adharasthitaha asi nityam. Nityam is an adverb. Now always. See, nityaha. If you say, it is a word implying the nature of the reality being eternal. So, nityaham, nityam, Brahma, when you say, there also eternal. But here, nityam also used as of eternally, always. Nityam, asi, you are always there. Oh Lord, you are as the truth, you are always there. Nityam asi. But how you are? Sthitaha asi. You are always. How? Mooladhare sthitaha asi. Mooladhara sthitaha. Moolam. We have to see two meanings here. One meaning is Vedanta. We have to understand this sentence in the light of Vedantic teaching, in the light of Yoga Shastra teaching also. So in Vedanta Shastra, what we say, Adharaha Asi. Adharaha, you know, support. Support means what? How supportive? Support is, water is the Adhara for the ocean. Water is the Adhara for the waves. Water is Adhara for the ocean waves. Water is the Adhara for the difference in waves. Water is the Adhara for everything with reference to ocean. Similarly here, this is the truth of the whole Jagat. without which the Jagat cannot exist, is the Adhara for the entire Jagat. When you say, anything which enjoys existence, it needs what? Adhara. Everything which, now we say, the living of elements are means the Adhara of the elements, Adhara of the elementals, Adhara of the forms, names and functions, Adhara of the differences, Adhara of the divisions, Adhara of everything. So that which is the support of the divisions and differences and the forms, names and functions, the living and the non-living things, the laws, even the order, everything is the source of everything, is what? Free from all divisions and differences is the Adhara, support. Therefore, Adharaha Asi. And then, how Adhara? Remaining as the Moolam, Moola Adhara Sthitaha Asi. Moola means beyond that. Moolam implies there's nothing beyond Bhagavad, reality. Reality is the Moolam. Reality is the root, which is the support of everything, which is not supported by anything else. So Adhara means, implies reality being the root of everything. But the word of root, Moolam, implies what? Reality being independent of everything. Reality, there's nothing which is the Adhara for the Adhara. So the support of the everything here is Adhara. But this Adhara, which is supportless, unsupported, supportless support of everything is implied by reality being the unsupported, supportless, only support of everything is implied by these two expressions, Moolam and Adharaha. Tvam Mooladhara Sthitosi Nityam. But what is the meaning in yogic language, yoga philosophy? We don't need to know this, but still I want to understand this. We need not worry about what is the meaning of Mooladhara Sthitaha in yoga philosophy at all. Okay, because our whole aim is to resolve our fundamental problem. Our fundamental problem is all the wrong notions centered on I have to be resolved, because that is where our freedom is. Now, what do we need? What is there for me? As Swamiji says, no, you have to ask this question, what is there for me? If I know where this Kundalini Shakti is, and by knowing, what am I going to gain? Will it help me resolve my problem? I am interested in my happiness and my peace of mind, for which I need to resolve the fundamental problems centered on I, for which I need to know what I am only. So what is the use of knowing other things? But still, better to know sometimes what it means here. Look at it. So, because just for your information, okay, the second meaning, so please understand, the word Moolam implies the reality being unsupported and supportless. But Adhara implies reality being the support of everything. Therefore, we can say uncaused, causeless support of everything. Supportless, unsupported support of everything. The only support of everything. That's okay. This is the Vedantic meaning. But here, and we can also say, where is reality available for recognition? In Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said, Guhayam, Yove Danihitam Guhayam. And Bhagavan Krishna says, Sarvesham Hrid Deshe Arjuna. Isn't it? Hrid deshe, hrid deshaha. So Taittiriya Upanishad says, Guhayam. nihitam guhayam. Krishna says hrit deshe, which means hridayam hrit deshaha, otherwise called guha, buddhi guha means mind. So if only human being makes efforts to discover the truth, only human being makes efforts to know the truth of the universe, the Bhagavan. And Shastram says, only human beings addressed here, don't go anywhere searching for the truth. It is there as the very truth of your own mind. Even though the body is pervaded by the truth, mind, everything is pervaded by the truth. But where is it available for recognition? You have only in the intellect you have to find out. Only in the mind, in the antakarana, intellect, and even in the intellect you have to go to the first thing is what? Aham. That is the moolam. Okay? There's the moola avidya also we say. When you do not know what you are, it is a moolasya avidya. No, ignorance of the truth is called a moola avidya. Moolasya avidya. Ignorance of the truth is that moola avidya means moolasya jnana moolam. Means that is the source of all knowledge. And there can never be the knowledge of the world without the knowledge of your own self. And if you go there also, what you find is moolam. There's another meaning for moola. Moola jnanam is what? Knowledge of existence of one's own self is the moola jnanam. Now, only then you can know the world is, existence of the world is possible. Knowledge of the existence of the world is possible only then. Therefore, and if you go there, what you discuss, moola adhara sthitaha asi. Another meaning. And what is the meaning in Yoga Shastram? We have to understand. In Yoga Shastram, where they prescribe the meditations. So even though the yoga, all the different steps, the eightfold steps, eightfold limbs, all of them are ultimately to convert the indisciplined mind into a disciplined mind. So whole attention is ultimately to calm the mind, quieten the mind. So steady the mind, unsteady the mind. So there, one of the meditations prescribed is Kundalini meditation. And they call it Kundalini yoga also. So they, according to this, it is believed that the Kundalini is a name given to the Shaktihi. We call it Kundalini Shaktihi. So Kundalini power, Kundalini energy. And it is believed this Kundalini Shaktihi always, remains. Always it remains. It rests. How? It remains in a coiled form. Don't ask whether I have seen. What is said only, I'm just telling you. Okay. So Kundalini Shaktihi remains in a coiled form. Imagine they have the many circles of coils. So coiled form and in many circles. This power is also called Serpent Shaktihi. They call it because it remains coiled, like a serpent, lying down. And they say it is always dormant. It is not raised. And they talk about the color of this color also. And this Shaktihi, Kundalini Shaktihi, is supposed, it's, they said to be at the moolam of the spinal cord. At the very base of the spinal cord. And it is called Aadharaha. So, Moola Aadharaha. So, the base of the spinal cord, it is called Moola Aadharaha. And there, this power is there. And because Kundalini means, you know, actually Jilebi is also called Kundalini. I want to tell you one thing. You know, all of you know Jilebi. Jilebi is also called Kundalini. Which means why? It is like this, coils. In Sanskritam, Abba, you will never forget now hereafter. No? And because it's a coil, so you see this round, round. So here also, Shakti is also, that's why very picturizing is not, doesn't serve any purpose for us. Anyway, we understand this. There it is said, it is this power that is imperceptible, inexplicably subtlest power remains there, coiled in circles. They say, it's also called serpent power, and it is there. And they say, Mooladhara Shaktihi. So, Kundalini Shaktihi, the other way is called Mooladhara Shaktihi. And this Shakti can never be, you know, awakened. It will always be there, dormant only. But who can, if it is awakened, it is always dormant, latent. This power can never be awakened. If a person can awaken the power, what will happen? Swamiji says, why do you go? Swamiji used to tell, you know, make the thesis. Why should you wake up the poor snake? Let it sleep. What are you going to achieve by waking it? No? The people may not like it. But still, because it doesn't serve, for us it is of no use. They say, if a post is woken up, they say it will rise, it will go rising. It will go, how far it go? It will go to Sahasrara. One, this power, the power which is at the Moola Aadhara, the base of the spinal cord, if it can be, it can be woken up. If it rises, it go, passes through the Moola, reaches the Moola Aadhara, Sahasrara. Moola Aadhara to Sahasrara. You wake up, it's exactly like imagine, some cat is sleeping in your doorstep, you know, somewhere in your house. You go and wake up, and you chase it. It will move, get up, and go to another place. This Mooladhara Shakti, woken up from, it's always there in Mooladhara, the base of the spinal cord. And if it is awoke, it is woken up, then it can rise, it can move to Sahasrara. It's called transferring the Mooladhara Shakti from the Kundalini Shakti from the base of the spinal cord to your Sahasrara. It is, Sahasrara means the other way is called Brahma Randram. It's a soft portion you have on your skull. Brahma Randram. If it is transferred and then it seems the meditator will have very quiet mind. All the thoughts will resolve and it will be possible for him to have some knowledge or understanding, or he'll enjoy some ecstasy. Some people say that. And people also call it attainment of the enlightenment and all that. You don't need to do anything. Just wake up this Mooladhara Shakti, sleeping, dormant, latent Mooladhara Shakti, obtaining remaining in the base of the spinal cord, and chase it, see that it goes to your Sahasrara. But sometimes, when people are practicing, it is not easy, isn't it? Going from one place to another place means what? On the way, obstacles may be there. We may have a lot of obstacles. Something may block the power. It was neither below in its own place, nor does it reach its destination, Mula Sahasrara. Mula Dhara to Sahasrara, it has to be transferred. Sometimes if it gets stuck somewhere in between, that is when people, lot of mental disorders happen. So I heard it. I don't know anything, but I'm really explain to you in case people come and talk to you about it, you should know at least some information about it. That's what I'm saying. And let me tell you one more thing. So when they suppose who can wake up, the another question comes, who can wake up first of all? One must be a very, very serious meditator and who is otherwise called a yogi, a dhyana yogi, a person who is given to the discipline of practicing meditation, with it seriously, and which means he must not be interested in anything else. Okay, even to practice, whether you want moksha, jnana, the different thing. Even for a person to become a serious meditator, means focus must be only in controlling his mind. Not in anything else. No external things should be attractive for him. If you're interested in so many things, then he can't meditate. His attention is distracted. The person whose attention is not at all distracted, not disturbed by anything else, nothing can hold his attention. He is all the time focusing his attention only on in given meditation. And there's a method also. Then what happens? They teach how to focus on this Muladhara Shaktihi, otherwise called Kundalini Shaktihi. And then they can raise. A person who's given to see discipline very seriously is supposed to be able to raise this Shakti. Wake up the Shakti. Once you wake up, the Shakti will not remain quiet. It was fast asleep. And now you have woken up. And it has to start moving. And how will it move? They say, there are six-fold chakras. And people call chakra meditation also. We don't want to talk about all those things. And the chakras, really speaking, if we really do the no surgery or no scanning, really nothing, you cannot understand at all. But Shastram, the Yoga Shastram, it is discussed. I'm not saying it's not there, but we don't need it. That's all I'm saying. And here, the Shakti raised will pass, move upwards. You cannot go downwards, no? It's already below the spinal cord. You can only move upwards. And it moves, straight on the back. Sit at the back. This is our vertebra. And then, this Shakti woken up passes through the Sushumna Nadi. And there are six chakras. So Muladhara Chakram itself is at the base of the vertebra. This is a spinal cord. Then we have Swadhisthana Chakram. Then Manipuram Chakram. Then Anahata Chakram. Then Vishuddhi Chakram. Then Ajna Chakram. And it is believed in Yoga Shastram. He said also that each chakram, actually if you cut the body and see, you can't find it. But it is said that it is there. And each chakram is said to be a place where energy is stored. Therefore, each chakram is said to be the center for energy or energy center. And passing through all these chakras, passing through all these six chakras, the energy gradually, which means the person must be seriously given to meditation, only then he can wake up first. And woken up, and Shakti has to move. To make it move from little by little by little by little bit to make it move, Also, he must work very hard in meditation. And as he says, he becomes successful meditator when this Muladhara Shakti, the Sarpana Shakti, Kundalini Shakti, remaining at the base of the spinal cord, somehow is through all the energy centers called chakras, it is raised to the Sahasraram. It's called Sahasradalam, Sahasraram, and it's called what? Brahmarandra. Suppose if it reaches, what happens then? If it reaches here, it is believed again, the person will have enlightenment. The purpose of shifting the power from Mooladhara to the Sahasrara. So, Vedanta Shastram doesn't accept it. You know, because what is the purpose? It's all the ignorance caused problem, erroneous perception caused problem has to be sorted out by correcting the error in your perception, by resolving the ignorance only through knowledge. We don't need to wake up any power anywhere. If you want to have some extraordinary powers, and such practice, people are given this practice of Kundalini Shakti and all, they may have a lot of occult powers, some supernatural powers. Now, if they're successful, some powers or siddhis are possible. You want some different from other people, you want to have extra powers, you can work hard throughout your life, and then you also come back for next Janma also. And that too, if you are, hopefully, if you're successful, you can become a person of power, siddhis also. But suppose if it gets stuck somewhere and from going from anahata to agyacha, somewhere it gets stuck, and the possibility of having mental disorders also, then the whole purpose is gone. That is why even this must be practiced with the person who has very thorough knowledge, who can all the time, 24 hours, you must be having the person around you, you are practicing so that he can help you, bring it down. Okay, but you can't push it up. Actually, you can bring the power down so you can become a normal human being. Understand? So, as a person who is practicing seriously meditation also can be normal as long as your practicing is right. Which means even to accomplish other supernatural powers also, this meditation is said to be very effective. It's called a Kundalini meditation. It means in which one can really raise one's power from the Mooladhara to Sahasrara. But it has nothing to do with the Jnanam, Atma Jnanam. Raising the power from Mooladhara to Sahasrara will not help you resolve your Ajnanam. Please understand very carefully. Raising the power from Mooladhara to Sahasrara through all the chakras, Anahata, Agya chakra, Manipura chakra, etc. will not help you resolve your ignorance. Before you are ordinary person, ignorant person having your Mooladhara Shakti, the base of the spinal cord. After practicing, you as a person having raised this Mooladhara Shakti also, you continue to be Atma Jnani. So there'll be again, Swami used to say, suppose you will see many other powers who are also given to the practice of this meditation and who must be having more powers than you. And again, you will think that, oh my God, this fellow is also practicing meditation. He has more powers. I have less powers. How is it possible? Again, you will be disturbed. Your moksha is gone. Therefore, we should never forget the focus. In every field, there'll be people who are endowed with much more than or less than what you are blessed with, endowed with. That is enough for you to compare and to make your life hell. Therefore, don't need to do anything else. So our moksha is only resolving our own smallness, fundamental problems, wrong notions, correcting the error in the perception of the self. Therefore, be very careful here. That is why, because I was hesitant to talk about it, but still I want to tell you today. Anyway, so this is Mooladhara Shakti. Whether you call, whether it is a Mooladhara, that Shakti, or a Sakshat Brahma Chaitanyam, which is the unsupported, supportless support of everything. Mooladhara Shritaha Asi. Okay, so Tvam Mooladhara Sthitosi Nityam Tvam Shaktitrayatmakaha. First we learn Tvam Gunatrayatitaha means you are distinct from all the three gunas, means all the three powers. You are distinct from the only power which is manifest in the Brahma as three powers. But now here we are saying Tvam Shaktitrayatmakaha. You are the only source of all the three powers. What is the difference between Gunatraya Atitaha and Shaktitraya Atmakaha? O Lord, you are distinct from all the three manifest powers, known by the three different names, Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha. But you are the only source of all the three powers. Whether by you are the only powerful, you are the Maya Shaktiman, you are the Shaktiman. There is only omnipotent, the potency is Bhagavan's. Bhagavan is the only omnipotent, because the only power of knowing unmanifest is known by the term Maya, which is the source, only power within which all the powers, power of knowing, power of desiring, power of activity, and power of inertia, all the powers, Bhagavan is the only source, the consciousness, the reality, which is Swarup of Bhagavan, is the only source of all the powers. Three powers. Therefore, source of all the powers is distinct from the powers. The Gunatrayatitaha means you are distinct from all the powers. Shaktitrayatmakaha means you are the source of all powers. Tvam Shaktitrayatmakaha. Tvam Yogino Dhyayanti Nityam. Tvam Yogino Dhyayanti Nityam. Now, Yoginaha Tvam Nityam Dhyayanti. So, Yogi, the word Yogi literally means the one who makes consistent efforts to discipline his mind, to calm his mind, to steady his mind, to purify his mind, is called a yogi. See, one who is given to the discipline of meditation, mental disciplining, is called yogi. When you perform the action itself as a preparatory discipline, you call the person karma yogi. Otherwise, a person is given to the mental activity, using the mental activity as a discipline, we call him dhyana yogi. Generally, yogi means a person who is given to the discipline, the effort of disciplining the mind. So, meditator is called a yogi. And here, yoginaha dhyayanti. So, whoever yaha dhyayati saha yogi. You can say, yaha dhyayati saha yogi. Dhyayati, meditates. You know, gachati, patati, likati, you know, No, dhyayati. Simple present tense verb. Dhyayati meditates. So he who meditates is a yogi. No, yoginaha meditators dhyayanti. They meditate. Who do the meditators meditate on ultimately? Whatever they meditate. If you meditate on Lord with the form, it is Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam. Meditate on the abstract, it is Nirguna Ishvara Dhyanam. Nirguna Ishvara Swarupa Dhyanam. You meditate on any given form, it is Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam. If a person is given to the meditation in terms of the abstract nature of the truth of the whole, it is Nirguna Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam. Which is meditation upon one's own Swarupa. Whether it's a Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam or Saguna Brahma Dhyanam, Saguna Brahma is the truth with the truth obtaining or enjoying having form, name and function. Truth with the form, name and function is Saguna Ishwaraha. Truth abstract, distinct from form, name and function is Nirgunam Brahma. Anyway, always people meditate either on your form or on your Swarupam. Rupam or Swarupam. Either people meditate upon the essential nature of Bhagavan, the whole obtaining as one's own self, or they meditate upon a given form, which is Bhagavan again. So, object of meditation must always be Ishwaraha. If the object of focus or attention is something else other than Ishwara, we do not call it Dhyanam. If people meditate upon Ishwara in a given form with a given name, then it's a Saguna Dhyanam. If the object Ishwara is seen as something other than one's own self, it is meditation, is called Saguna Dhyanam. If Ishwara Swarupam, obtaining as one's own Swarupam, is meditated upon, it is Swasvarupa Anusandhanam, which is contemplation, Nididhyasanam. So Saguna Dhyanam is for steadying the unsteady mind. And Nirguna Dhyanam, Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam, Swasvarupa Anusandhanam, contemplation is for assimilation of the ascertainment of the vision of the truth. Therefore, he says, what else can people meditate? Any meditator. Tvam yogino dhyayanti nityam. O Lord, always these meditators meditate upon you. Meditate upon you means they meditate upon you are the only focus. Here you have to remember, whether Saguna Dhyanam or Nirguna Dhyanam. If Bhagavan in any given form is meditated upon as an object other than one's own self, it is meditation Saguna Dhyanam. If Bhagavan Swarupam is meditated upon as one's own Swarupam, obtaining as one's own Swarupam, it is Swarupa Dhyanam. It is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, it is contemplation. There is no third thing which can be meditated upon. We either meditate upon Bhagavan's Rupam or Bhagavan's Swarupam. Bhagavad Rupam means you see Bhagavan as an object. It is meditation. Then there is dvaitam is there. Duality is there. So it is not for ascertainment. It's only for steadying the mind. If meditate upon Bhagavan Swarupam, not Rupam, Bhagavan Swarupam is definitely there as only your own Swarupam. You can never arrive at Bhagavan's Swarupam as an object. We have Bhagavan Swarupam has to be understood, is always available only as one's own Swarupam. Therefore, here it is contemplation, and there Bhagavan is not an object, Bhagavan is yourself. In contemplation, Bhagavan's Swarupam is your Swarupam, Bhagavan is yourself. Your Atma. Whereas in meditation, Bhagavan is an object other than yourself. In both meditations, the purpose is different. In Saguna Upasanam, and Bhagavan is an object other than yourself, is for mental steadiness. It can only contribute for okay. mental steadiness. Or if you are interested in this, without Purushartha Nischaya.
Dhanu Kunti. Tamam Ghata hai.
Tamam Ghata hai. My Swamini Javi Buddha.
If without mental preparation, without Purushartha Nischaya, if a person is given to the practice of meditation, then it may help person have even other supernatural powers or even attainment of Brahma Loka, other lokas, etc. One can earn abundance of punya. Suppose a person meditates upon Bhagavan Swarupam, obtaining as one's own Swarupam, it is contemplation, which also is possible only after knowing Bhagavan Swarupam, and which is the Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam or Nididhyasanam, which is for only assimilation, ascertainment of the vision of the truth being the whole. It is called Bhagavat Sakshatkara, will be the phala, which means your understanding of Bhagavan will be absolutely ascertain, doubt-free. Therefore, who else can meditate on? If a person understands and meditates, can there be anything which is not meditated upon? Whatever people are thinking of all the time, ultimately nothing but Bhagavan only. Because thinker is Bhagavan, thinking is Bhagavan, object of thought also is Bhagavan. Tvam yogino dhyayanti nityam. Tvam brahma, tvam vishnus, tvam rudras, tvam indras, tvam agnis, tvam vayus, tvam suryas, tvam chandramas, tvam brahma bhurbhuvasvarom. In fact, when you chant this one line, we should not break, you know, hold the breath. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnu. No. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnu, Tvam Rudras, Tvam Indras, Tvam Agnis, Tvam Vayus, Tvam Suryas, Tvam Chandramas, Tvam Brahma, Bhurbhuvasvarom. We should not break it. All the words are udatta swara. No anudatta, no swarita, no dirgha swarita. All the sounds are what? Udatta swara. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnu, Tvam Rudras, Tvam Indras, Tvam Agnis, Tvam Vayus, Tvam Suryas, Tvam Chandramas, Tvam Brahma. Ma is what? Anudatta. Brahma, Bhurbhuvasvarom. Again, va anudatta. Everything is in udatta swara. त्वं ब्रह्मा त्वं विष्णुस्त्वं रुद्रस्त्वमिन्द्रस्त्वमग्निस्त्वं वायुस्त्वं सूर्यस्त्वं चन्द्रमास्त्वं ब्रह्म भोर्भुवस्वरोम् मव. वैट् टु अनुदात्तस्वरास्. All Udattaswaras. So, now just to say, all that everything here is, mainly we have picked up some Devata names. Just to say everything is Bhagavan. So we are addressing Bhagavan here. Tvam Brahma, everything is Bhagavan. See it. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnus, Tvam. So Brahma, not Brahma. Be very careful. Your Brahma short is what? If the word Brahma is short, Brahma, then it is Nakarantaha Napumsakalingaha Brahman Shabdaha. It's a neuter gender word ending in Nakara. Brahman is a neuter gender word which stands for the reality, with the word implying the reality in terms of its nature of bigness, limitlessness. Okay, Param Brahma. Okay, Brahma. Brahma. This is Nakarantaha Pullingaha Brahman Shabdaha. Be careful. Nakarantaha Napumsakalingaha Brahman Shabdaha. Nakarantaha Pullingaha Brahman Shabdaha. Same Nakaranta Shabda, Brahman, Brahman. But in nominative, it is Brahma. Short. It is a neuter gender word. In masculine, if it is a masculine gender word, in nominative, Brahma. If it is short, it is a neuter gender word. If it is long, it is a masculine gender word. If it is short as a neuter gender word, it implies the reality, abstract reality, consciousness. Okay. And if it is a long masculine gender word, Brahma, as a masculine gender word is Brahma, means creator. Hiranyagarbha. The Lord is a creator. And here we say, who is the creator? Who is the Brahma here? Brahma means the creator of everything here. You are the creator. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnus, Tvam. Who is the sustainer of everything? See, what has been already said. Now we are saying, Tvattaha Jayate, Tvattaha Tishtati, Twayi layameshyati. Everything originates from you. Everything exists in you. Everything resolves in you, O Lord. Therefore, you are given the title. What are the titles? Brahma is the title given to you. From the standpoint of the universe, it becomes manifest. And Vishnu is also another title given to you from the standpoint of the universe which enjoys existence in you. The same from the standpoint, the universe which resolves in you, I give another title, Rudraha. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnus, Tvam Rudras, Tvam. Even though the word Vishnu separately means what? Sarvam Vyapnoti iti Vishnu. The one who pervades everything. Therefore, is the Vishnu. And the whole universe is, which enjoys existence, is Lord. Vishnu Virat and Rudraha. Rudraha means, again, standard Shiva. When everything becomes unmanifest, will there be pain? Will there be suffering? When everything becomes unmanifest, will there be pain and suffering? No. That's why the one in whom everything resolves, then there's no pain. You know, That's why the one who drives away sorrow is said to be Rudraha. Rutam dravayati iti Rudraha. Rut means sorrow. Rutam dravayati, the one who drives away sorrow, is said to be Rudraha. Dravayati, chases away, drives away. Okay, now. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnus, Tvam Rudras, Tvam. Everything is you only. Three different titles given to you, Bhagavan. For what? From the standpoint of origination, existence, and resolution of the universe. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnus, Tvam Rudras, Tvam. Okay. What about other devatas? In Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnus, Tvam Rudras, Tvam Indras, Tvam Agnis, Tvam Vayus, Tvam Suryas, Tvam Chandramas, Tvam. So we mention some devatas, mainly the Indra Devata, Agni Devata, Vayu Devata, Surya Devata, Chandra Devata, Chandramaha, Chandra, Moon. All these devatas, I told you many times, any phenomenon is devata. Every natural phenomenon which enjoys existence is devata only, which shines in the light of consciousness. Now you can say the whole world shines in the light of consciousness only. Anything which shines in the light of consciousness, see, an object of knowledge shines in the light of the knower consciousness. Then it's called what? Devata. That's a different name. But here specifically Indraha. So Indraha here is the some power, the prowess, the physical stamina and prowess, which is expressed in all the activities. Now somebody is strong physically, how do you know? This physical strength, how do you know? Physical prowess, how do you know? Express in physical activities. That power is also what? Given the title as Devata, it's called Indraha. Okay? It's also Bhagavan. Tom Indraha. It's very important. That's why Indra comes next, immediately after that. And the whole life, when do you see there's a life? When people are physically very active, that is when you can understand life is there. Isn't it? If these people are, suppose imagine the whole road is empty. No people are there. Even if people are there, nobody is walking, standing, simply standing like a statue. What happens? There's no life, we'll say. So life, you know, the life is enjoyable only when there's movements and actions. And for it, the basis is this physical stamina and strength, the prowess, which is personified as Indra Devata. O Lord, you are the Indra Devata, which alone is available for enjoyment in the form of life. The life of all the beings. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnus, Tvam Rudras, Tvam Indras, Tvam Agnis, Tvam. Again, I had to give a lot of explanations for this. Agnihi, Vayuhu. Each and every data I had to talk. So I think I'll do it next class. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnus, Tvam Rudras, Tvam Indras, Tvam Agnis, Tvam Vayus, Tvam Suryas, Tvam Chandramas, Tvam Brahma Bhur Bhuvasvarom. Just the names of devatas, but each and everything needs some unfoldment. We'll do it next class.